Friends, today is day 21. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but for those of us who have been doing the 21 days of worship, it means it is the last day of our 3-week solid of going to worship every day. Okay, so for 21 days, we have been waking up and rolling into worship. Now, I say rolling because I'm not a morning person. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, I literally rolled into the sanctuary, sat at the sound booth with no coffee. If you know me, that's tragic. And just every day, Ben and I laughed because we got to a point that we didn't know what day it was anymore. It's Sunday, Ben. It's Sunday. And we just kept doing it over and over in this rhythm of worship and more worship and more worship. And it was amazing worship. But we got so used to this idea of worship every day, it all started to blend. And it was the coolest thing in the world. But now I started thinking, I don't have Sunday to define anything because I'm worshiping every day. But you know, worship is every day, isn't it? We do it every day. We just do it in different ways. So I am loving 21 days of worship. At the same time, I'm kind of happy to have Sunday is Sunday and every other day is every other day. If you didn't do it this year, we'll do it again next year and you can join us. But 21 days is now on the last day. So I hope if you did go through it that you enjoyed it. I'd love to hear what you loved about it if you did do it. So send me an email or a text message and tell me what you enjoyed about the 21 days. But as we dive into this last chapter of the book of John, I just want to back up a little bit about where we are, because John is written as a story for one entire reading. So we can't take one section without remembering the context of where we're at. So let's look at chapter 19, because in chapter 19, we see this is Good Friday. All right, so chapter 19, Jesus is sentenced to death. He's hung on the cross. And he gives his life willingly. I love the way John puts it because he says, in Jesus' words, Jesus says, "It is finished." And then John says, Jesus gave up his spirit. Not that his spirit was taken from him, not that his life essence was removed, but Jesus gave his last breath and chose to die. Is that not a beautiful image? Love it. And then after Jesus died, they took him down and they buried him. All that in chapter 19. Then we move on to chapter 20. And in chapter 20, we see Easter morning. Mary Magdalene. Now, some of the other gospels have a group of women, but in John's chapter, it's just Mary Magdalene that goes to the tomb to go and properly bury Jesus because he had a rush burial and it wasn't proper. So she goes to finish it and she shows up and Jesus is gone and she's sitting there weeping because he's gone. And someone goes, "Why are you weeping?" And she goes, "My Lord is missing and I don't know where he is." And she looks up and it's Jesus talking to her. And she goes and she's so excited, she tells the others, and the others are scared because they don't know what's happened and people are going to blame them. They go, the disciples go, "We know, they're going to blame us for this." So they're afraid and they lock themselves in a room, and then Jesus appears again through the locked room. If they weren't scared before, they're scared now, right? He just showed up. That's weird. But who wasn't there? Thomas. And poor Thomas. I mean, he got that horrible nickname, right? What do we call him? Doubting Thomas. I mean, would you believe it? I wouldn't believe it. If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes and all my friends told me that Jesus rose from the dead, I wouldn't believe it either. But poor Thomas gets blamed forever for being doubting Thomas. So Jesus appears to prove it to Thomas too. And then we get to chapter 21. Our last chapter for today. Now you gotta love this. So the disciples have gone through all of this, and what do? They go fishing. They gotta eat. Well, they do, right? They're fishermen. This is what they do. This has been their vocation before Jesus. And Jesus has died and gone on, and their whole lives have been wrapped around him, and now he's gone. So they resort to what they've always done. They gotta feed themselves, they gotta pay for their lives. So they go fishing. And they fish, and they fish. And they fish, and they catch nothing. And then some joker on the side of the lake says, "Hey, cast your net to the other side." How many of you fish? You don't look very excited about it. Come on, now, how many of you fish? How many of you love to have someone else to tell you to do it another way? No fisherman loves that. You know they were thinking, what's this joker on the shore thinking? You fish don't stay on one side of the boat and not the other. But then maybe they thought, well, he could have seen something we didn't see. Maybe a school of fish just came up. I don't know. But they just decided, we'll do it anyway. We've been fishing all this time. What's it gonna hurt? So they throw the net over, and all of a sudden, they're overflowing with fish. And then John looks out and goes, oh, it's Jesus on the shore. That's why we have so many fish. It's another miracle. Now, this is what I love, because Peter then goes, oh, it's Jesus. And he freaks out and has to go. And then John ends his gospel with a commissioning of Peter. Now, we know how Matthew's gospel ends, don't we? We call that the Great Commission. John commissions Peter at the end. Now, we're going to focus some time on just this little section of John, this conversation that John has with Peter. And I think we can learn a couple lessons from this to summarize our whole 21-day series, our study of John. And the first lesson from Jesus and John and this whole story on the side of the lake is this: God will always pursue us. God pursues us. You see, the disciples were trying to survive and provide for themselves. They did what they knew how to do. They went fishing. And Jesus went to them. He did the same thing when he showed up in the locked room. He went to them. And in the same way today, God comes to us. He sends his spirit to us. He pulls on our hearts. He calls us. He does everything he can to pull us to him. He sends people in our lives to speak to us. Sometimes he sends a song on the radio that just happens to be the perfect song. Sometimes it's the most random events, but God is doing everything he can to come to us. Look back at the scriptures. John chapter 21, verse 1. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. Now, he could have walked to them, right? We've seen it before. Jesus met them on the water when they were in the middle of the sea and he walked out. But he put himself this time in a position where he was present and they had to recognize him. He is always going to meet us where we are. No matter where we are, Jesus and God come to us. But then you have the other side of that, which is that we pursue God. You see, God is pulling us towards him, but we have a part within our soul that is always trying to find God. That class that Sharon's teaching, do you know that the reason there's so many religions in the world is because we were created. We were created with a deep desire to seek our Creator. There's a peace within our soul that is trying to figure out the meaning of this life and a higher purpose. And that's because that's how God made us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. If you look back in Genesis, the whole reason God created us was for a relationship with him. And all people all over the world have been trying to figure that out for all time. And that's why there's so many world religions. And there's common threads in all of them. Because God is trying to pull humanity to him. But we learn in John that Jesus says that I am the way. Jesus is the way to have a relationship with God. Once he goes after us, we have to go back to Jesus. And I love John's way that he describes Peter, because see, Peter's my favorite disciple. Okay, I'll just say it. He's my favorite. He just plunges right forward and he doesn't think and he just does stuff, and that's like totally like me. I'd oftentimes get myself into stuff and then I have to figure out how to get out. You know, like Peter walking on the water and then he freaks out because he starts to sink. I would do that. So Peter reacts because John's like, it's the Lord. And Peter's like, I got to get to Jesus. And we see in verse 7, When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped it for work. He jumps in the water and heads to shore. Friends, Peter had to get to Jesus so bad that he doesn't wait for the boat. He swims to Jesus. He's running to Jesus. He cannot keep himself from getting there. He is so excited to see Jesus that he can't stop himself. I'm impressed because I'm a horrible swimmer. Like, I would be behind the boat. Even with all those fish that the boat was tugging along, there's no way I would beat the boat. So I would have stayed because that would have been my fastest route, but that's just me because I'm slow. But Peter was so excited that nothing could hold him back. That's pursuing. That's what it looks like for us to seek God daily, is that nothing in our life holds us back from seeking God. Nothing in our life holds us back from finding God in our day-to-day-to-day. As we just run with everything we have. And sometimes we run so fast we're not even thinking about where we're going. We're just going because Jesus is there at the end. When was the last time you did that? Can you remember the first time you really felt God in your life? There's nothing more exciting than meeting a new Christian. I love it. Because they're like exploding. Have you seen, you remember? You've seen one, right? They're exploding with excitement about who God is. And they just realize the unending love of God. And God forgives us and loves us eternally. And they're so excited about it, they can't contain it. Do you remember when you were that way? Are we still pursuing God that way? Are we still pursuing God the way we did when we first started this journey? Because the truth is God is still pursuing us like the day we were born. He's never stopped. He's never stopped seeking and providing and doing everything in his power to make our Christian lives better. Once Peter gets to shore, in verse 14, Jesus says to him, "Now come and have some breakfast." And the funny, Jesus provided all those fish and he didn't need them. He already had them. Don't you think that those other disciples on the boat got all those fish on the shore and then they saw Jesus already had fish and were like, why did we lug all these 140 plus fish if you had all these already cooking? But Jesus provides everything that we need. Not always everything we want, but everything we need in our soul. He's got it all. And if we're running towards him, if we're seeking him, he's always going to be there waiting for us with the fire going and the fish cooking. And Lord, I hope he's got coffee. Heaven's going to have coffee, right? Yeah, okay. He's there because he knows our hearts and he knows our souls and he knows what we need. So that's why I ask, are you truly pursuing him? Are you truly pursuing him? Are you running like Peter runs without any thought of plan or logistic? Or, you know, what's going to happen when I get there? Are you just running? And if you're not, what would it take to do that? What's holding you back? Because I don't know the answer to those questions. Only you do. And only God does. But if you remember that time when you were new to this walk and you were so overflowing with excitement and that feels like decades ago, what would it take to get back to that place for you so that you could just run with joy again? That's my prayer for us as a church. that that's the place that we will be. And it's not necessarily an easy place. I'm not preaching that it's easy, friends. But it is joy-filled to run towards Jesus. So my prayer for us today, and I challenge you to pray it too, is as we close our service, that you will ask God what you need to do to have that excitement like Peter does and to just keep running towards him. And if you need to lay stuff down, then lay it down. Come and lay and pray and ask God to take whatever you need to take that's holding you back from that. Ask God what you need to do so that you can run full force. And let's run together as a church and as a congregation, as a community, and let's bring people along. By the way, I'm saying this run thing, and I literally hate to run, but when it comes to spiritual running, I will run as long as I have to because God has given me that strength. So I think we can do it. Amen? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just ask blessings over my brothers and sisters in this room. Lord, I ask that you open us to your voice in this moment and you tell each of us what it is that we need to free ourselves from so that we can be like we were in the early days of our faith. Give us that excitement that when we first recognized who you were and how you redeemed us. Give us the joy of Peter when he saw Jesus on the shore. Give us that freedom of when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" So that we can say, yes, God, we love you and know that you hear us and you love us back. Help us to run without thinking and just to follow and help us to be set free. Lord, I want to seek you with a new and renewed passion every day, and I ask that for each of my friends in this room and my church family. Most importantly, Lord, we want to run in a way that helps others join that so that we never stop bringing people into this journey. So help us, Father. Help us be more like your children every day and never, never take our eyes off our Lord. We pray these things to the glory and mighty power of our Lord Jesus. Amen.